coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 15th day of July, 2020, about 116 days, I believe, 117 days before the 2020 elections. HagmanReport.com. That's where you'll find news information, contributing articles or contributor articles. HagmanReportLive.com. There you'll find our videos and our audio assets as well. Roger Stone signed his acceptance of the presidential commutation. If you happen to see that on band.video or on InfoWars, that's good job. Good job. And I like to think that we all played a part in that. And I sort of think we did, based on conversations subsequent to Friday's show. So I want to thank everyone, and way to go. There's a lot more to go as well. Some interesting information too. Watch this Ghislaine Maxwell situation. She's saying that she's not going to be speaking, not going to be giving in any kind of information. There's something going on there. I'm going to be delving into that. And reporting on that, along with Randy Taylor as well. How'd you like yesterday's show with Randy? That was pretty good. I'll tell you what, it was. We are doing things behind the scenes, away from the microphone, and finding some things out that are pretty interesting. Now, having said that, before I bring Dr. Richard Proctor on from the Provost Institute, in fact, if he's on, he can listen to this as well. This might sound familiar. This is a short clip of a speech given by Ronald Reagan in 1964. And this will give us a basis of things to talk about today, in addition to what Dr. Proctor has planned. But by the way, we missed him last week. I apologize. We were out of sync off with the show. Our show wasn't on, and then anyway, so we're back to normal this week. But I want you to take a listen to what Ronald Reagan has to say, and think about our tagline as well: "Truth can't be silenced, truth won't be silenced." And think about where we're at today in terms of the larger picture and the Constitution of the United States: right versus left, right versus wrong. Up versus down, black versus white. Think about all of that as you listen and watch this from Ronald Reagan from 1964.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream. The ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society, Or, as we were told a few days ago by the president, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. But they've been a little more explicit in the past, and among themselves, and all of the things I now will quote have appeared in print. These are not Republican accusations. For example, they have voices that say the Cold War will end through our acceptance of a not undemocratic socialism. Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state. Or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 20th century. Senator Fulbright has said at Stanford University that the Constitution is outmoded. He referred to the president as our moral teacher and our leader. And he says he is hobbled in his task by the restrictions of power imposed on him by this antiquated document. He must be freed so that he can do for us what he knows is best. And Senator Clark of Pennsylvania, another articulate spokesman, defines liberalism as meeting the material needs of the masses through the full power of centralized government. Well, I, for one, resent it when a representative of the people refers to you and me, the free men and women of this country, as the masses. This is a term we haven't applied to ourselves in America. But beyond that, the full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy. Not too long ago, a judge called me here in Los Angeles. He told me that a young woman who'd come before him for a divorce. She had 6 children, was pregnant with her 7th. Under his questioning, she revealed her husband was a laborer earning $250 a month. She wanted the divorce to get an $80 raise. She's eligible for $330 a month in the Aid to Dependent Children program. She got the idea from 2 women in her neighborhood who'd already done that very thing. Yet any time you and I question the schemes of the do-gooders, we're denounced as being against their humanitarian goals. They say we're always against things, we're never for anything. Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. Now, we have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one. So they're going to solve all the problems of human misery through government and government planning. Well, now, if government planning and welfare had the answer, and they've had almost 30 years of it, shouldn't we expect government to read the score to us once in a while? Shouldn't they be telling us about the decline each year in the number of people needing help, the reduction in the need for public housing? But the reverse is true. Each year, the need grows greater. The program grows greater. We were told 4 years ago that 17 million people went to bed hungry each night. Well, that was probably true. They were all on a diet. But now we're told that 9.3 million families in this country are poverty-stricken on the basis of earning less than $3,000 a year. Welfare spending 10 times greater than it was in the dark depths of the Depression. We're spending $45 billion on welfare. Now, do a little arithmetic, and you'll find that if we divided the $45 billion up equally among those 9 million poor families, we'd be able to give each family $4,600 a year. And this, added to their present income, should eliminate poverty. Direct aid to the poor, however, is only running about $600 per family. It would seem that someplace there must be some overhead. So now we declare war on poverty, or you too can be a Bobby Baker. Now, do they honestly expect us to believe that if we add $1 billion to the $45 billion we're spending, one more program to the 30-odd we have, and remember this new program doesn't replace any, it just duplicates existing programs, do they believe that poverty is suddenly going to disappear by magic? Well, in all fairness, I should explain there is one part of the new program that isn't duplicated. This is the youth feature. We are now going to solve the dropout problem, juvenile delinquency, by reinstituting something like the old CCC camps. And we're going to put our young people in these camps. But again, we do some arithmetic and we find that we're going to spend each year just on room and board for each young person we help, $4,700 a year. We can send them to Harvard for
$2,700. Okay, you can cut that short. I'll put the link in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We're fighting the same fight as we were 50 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry, 56 years ago. The words of Ronald Reagan. And did you notice the reference to the Constitution there, or elements of the Constitution? Of course, Dr. Richard Proctor here to talk about that. One more thing before I turn to Dr. Proctor. I want to mention this. You have heard nothing, I'm sure of this, nothing about this in the mainstream media. Did you know that in the state of Washington, the Black Lives Matter leader by the name of Henry E. Washington, he was arrested. You know what he was arrested for? Gunning down two cops, killing one. There's a war against police. Jonathan Shoup was the officer gunned down and murdered. Again, his partner was shot as well. This happened Monday night, 2 days ago. Where's the media? And you can find online this Henry Washington's social media postings and pictures and Black Lives Matter and hate all cops. All cops are bad. You get the idea, right? There it is. All right. Without any further ado, and I want to thank him for his patience and for his flexibility with respect to the schedule, favorite guest of the Hagmann Report, Dr. Richard Proctor. Dr. Proctor, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Very good. Glad to be back again. My, it's been a dearth.
I got to tell you what. Yeah, if you can only see what's going on here. We had a number of days that were dark, and it's just. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad you're back. So, all right, let's get started. I mean, that you saw Ronald Reagan referencing the Constitution there. Again, the more things change, the more things stay the same. We're still fighting that fight, aren't we?
You know, all those numbers are absolutely accurate. If we were just to take what we spend on the welfare business and give it to the people, we would call them millionaires. We really would.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
That much money going. We have no idea how much money's going. We can't even comprehend what $1 trillion is, yet we spend several trillion every year in government.
That's right. I mean, yeah, I can't. Look,
you can't
comprehend
the number.
Yeah, I can't count beyond three digits, you know, so I'm kind of dumbstruck there. But no, I mean, $1 trillion, that's a lot of money. I mean,
look how many zeros are behind the one in a trillion.
At least three, right?
Yeah, at least three. Yeah.
At least three.
It's astounding to me that we accept this kind of stuff and call it normal. But I want to mention something very important here. I think it's very important. Just sure. Me. Others might not. That clip by Reagan is outstanding. Notice the history. That was in 64.
Yep.
The history's there. We have the history. We can see it. We can read it. We can be glad it's there. Want to tell you something? My books could very easily be censored by the government very soon. I mean, I don't know. They ban books. They burn books.
Yep.
My stuff's intolerable for this organization to have. I mean, they don't want this out in the community at all. Facebook and Twitter and all those will begin to ridicule me and tear me apart because they don't want you to think I've got something to say. That's the standard of today. If these books are banned and I can't get them to you anymore, you won't have the information. You won't have the history. These books contain past history.
Yep.
because I've included the exact articles of the time in the books. You can see things just like you could see that clip by Reagan, but you have to read a little rather than just watch. And that's a drag. I understand that. But I can't make the books all just on a big video. That doesn't work. But what I'm just coming to, guys, is you, if you want these, you should get them before they're not available any longer. Just think on that for a minute.
And I want to tell you something about that. Late last night, early this morning, I'm talking, you know, early hours of this morning, I attempted to send a tweet about 451. And 451, of course, degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature at which paper burns, in reference to the dystopian novel Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. But I also included in there your a link to Provost Institute. I could not get that. I could not send that tweet. Look, I know I'm not the smartest guy on the block when it comes to posting things, but there was something that would not allow me. I would tweet it. I could see it being tweeted or my tweet being accepted. When I went to find it, it wasn't there. So I don't know if it was the Constitution, if it was your link, if it was the reference to Fahrenheit 451. But I'm telling you right now, so what you're saying is absolutely, it's closer than we think it is. So please, folks, you know, look, you can do what you want, but for less than the price of a meal, you can get Saving the Constitution by Dr. Proctor. I hope everyone listening to the sound of my voice, I hope you have it. I hope you buy it. I hope you do it today. And, you know, we need it. We need that book. Go ahead.
If you couldn't get onto the link, are they going to close my website completely so nobody can buy anything or do anything with me?
Is it possible? I don't know.
It is possible, you know. It's all controlled by the government. Everything's controlled by the government.
Sure.
Guys, we're living in a society absolutely horrid. Absolutely horrid. A fellow asked me to send him an email. Well, he asked for more than I wrote, but he was talking about what do you see for the future, for our economy? That's what he was talking about. At least that's what I interpreted. And you know, here's a possible scenario. Just think about this. Today, one of the alternate articles I get every week, every day actually, today that article was talking about a repeat from yesterday. Yesterday, he said in his article, that they had discovered through studies in two separate locations that the antibodies from this COVID-19 disappear from your system very rapidly. Now, in days of yore, when I got chickenpox, I probably wouldn't get it again in my life, and that's what the vaccines were supposed to do. Well, today they just said that the COVID-19 doesn't go away. It'll come back again and again. So today, he found another source that said the same thing, that it goes away really fast. So they're talking about the vaccine, and they say it's going to be at least two vaccines, two shots a month apart. And then you're going to have to get another one and another one and another one every few months so that you can keep protected. Do you guys see what's happening here? The guys that are making a profit on this are going to steal us blind. Actually, through the government, they're going to steal us blind. But really what it means is they can perpetuate this fiasco as long as they want, into the years. Now, what's going to happen to the economy? If we keep this thing going, even a few months longer, it will be very difficult to get the economy back. And if it goes very much longer than that, it won't matter how much money you have. Gold, silver won't matter at all. There won't be anything to buy. There won't be anything to buy. Restaurants now open halfway because, you know, they have to serve tables, have to save tables. But there's probably a condition that they can't get enough food to serve what they used to serve. That's also a factor. Folks, things are really bad. Our economy is tanking, and we've got to stop it. But most people don't know what the tool is to stop it. They don't know how to do it. My book in the conclusion, Saving the Constitution Conclusion, has an outline of what to do. If you don't have the book, you won't know what to do. And if they ban the book, you can't find out what to do because nobody else has even thought of what's written there. Nobody has even thought of it. If you don't have the book Saving the Constitution, you won't be able to know what the Constitution says because they could also ban constitutions. They're trying to get a convention of states. When they get a convention of states, that convention will ban our Constitution and substitute it with another one that will be ratified by a committee in Washington or something like that. And we'll be stuck with no Constitution that we can fall back on and rely on at all. And then they'll make sure that none of them are distributed by stopping the source that prints them and sends them out up in Idaho. Folks, we are living in a precarious time. If you want information for the future, you best get it now. It's kind of like this. I go into a store and I see something I want. I don't buy one. I buy four or five because it won't be there again. It won't be there again. When I go back to buy it, if I just buy one, it isn't available. So I buy four or five. So I'll have it when I want it in the future. Well, guys, that's just a pattern of what's happening to us. That's just a pattern. We best prepare ourselves with information. You say, well, I can get it on the computer. Don't count on it.
Nope.
Who controls the computer? The computer is controlled by government, period. Folks, don't count on it. You'll get the same story that, well, we could just look at what happened in communist China and communist Russia. Everybody got the same story, no matter where they read, no matter what they did. Well, that will happen here too. We'll all get the same story. Right now, we get non-stories over and over and over again. Non-stories. I mean, they're not printed at all. You can't get the information. It's not available. That's in the future. You best get what you need now so that you'll have it. Have any of you guys seen the movie The Time Machine? Well, he went forward into years way in the future and found a very slipshod group of people. Let's just say it that way. It's very interesting. He came back. When he went back to that group because he wanted to be there, he took three books with him because there were no books there. All that kind of information was gone. And it was just the future of now.
Yep.
Just the future of now.
Reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode, The Obsolete Man. I know Alex Jones talks about it and David Knight and others, you know, it's just, you know, they bring this, I'm trying to remember who the actor was, but they bring him forward and they asked what his job was. And he said, a librarian. And of course there were no books. So he, you know, he's obsolete and they, because of being obsolete, of course they scheduled him for death. And I'm not going to ruin it for people who haven't seen that episode, but bottom line is, this is where we're going, and you're right. I worry a lot when I see Amazon, and they've already done this, refusing to carry books, and I'm not sure which books. There were a couple. I know of a couple, but I can't recall their names. Your book, you know, available at your website, provisinstitute.com. They flip a switch. You're done. Done in terms of the way it's being done right now, it's over. So what you said about buying, you know, more than one, I would really urge people to do that. In fact, go to provisinstitute.com and once you get this book, you'll see why I'm so hot on this. Saving the Constitution is the book. Okay.
I want to extend this thought.
Go ahead.
I want to extend this thought one more place.
Go ahead.
The books, the big series, I know it. It's $20 a book and there's six books. I know that. Right. I understand that. And I understand that's a big wallop. I understand that. But it is preserving history.
Very much.
And without these books, you cannot preserve that portion of history. It's gone. You tried to find some articles, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I did.
They were gone.
And they weren't there. I mean, you provided the articles, and they were gone. I'll just say this. I searched by title, by author, in some other ways. They were wiped off the internet. I even went back on the archive, internet archive machine. Now, I don't even know how they scrub an archive. I don't know how they do that, but they were gone. So
there you have it.
Yep.
I have preserved those articles for everybody who wants to see what was happening in the era, in our past era. I've preserved it. The books that I quote are probably going to be gone too at some point. Amazon will stop selling them because they'll be on a banned list. Okay. Things like The Naked Capitalist will be on a banned list. Oh, today, yeah. You can still get it, but you may not be able to in a year. Think about that. I'm not talking 20 years. I'm talking about in a year from now, next summer, will you be able to get any of these things? So you best get them now if you have an interest in preserving our history. I'm reading 1984 today, and not right now, but I'm reading it today. The gentleman in there was trying to find out what happened in the 1960s. He was living in 1984. He just wanted to know what had happened in the 60s, and it was gone. He could not find anything that was reliable, even in the 1960s, just 20 years later. Well, I don't think we have to worry about 20 years now. They can do that in one. You guys don't understand how much power the government wields. And when they don't want you to have something, you won't get it. So if you want to have this kind of history available in your library so you can know what's happening to us, it's here. This portion of it is here. Not everything, but this portion is here. Guys, don't miss, because I'm afraid that my books will be unavailable. They will be I have a target on my back. They don't want my stuff out. They won't tolerate it.
Yeah, I can verify that you do have a target on your back. What you write about, of course, American exceptionalism because of the Constitution, or it's not even American exceptionalism. It's history. It's the Constitution, but people look at it as, well, that's bad because it's, American exceptionalism. I don't understand that mindset except to say it's warped and it's Marxist and communist in nature.
Yes. They were taught that in the schools, the university. They've been hammered and hammered and hammered into them that America is bad, yep. Hammered and hammered. The founding fathers were bad. Everybody's bad. This country's bad. Oh, you should be ashamed of living here. Oh, hammered in, hammered, 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 hammered. Repeat a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. Well, they've had it repeated over and over by in almost every class they attend now in public schools and universities. I'm sorry, guys. You're paying all your money to go to school and learn learn socialism and how good it is and the utopia of socialism. You're paying hard-earned money to go to your universities today to learn about socialism and how bad America is. Wow, I think you ought to buy a new car. Don't spend your money there. Buy a new car. That'll keep at least the car pet companies going.
There you go. Yeah, I would not send a son, daughter to a college anywhere at this point. I just wouldn't do it. It's certainly not a good return on investment. And we see what's being taught there. It's garbage.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yeah, I have a big part of my fourth volume talks about what's going on in the schools. That's part of it.
Yeah, that's right. Volume 4, the Liberty Series. Yep. And folks, I talk about saving the Constitution. There's so many more books at theprovostinstitute.com. Provostinstitute.com, that is. Please check it out. Liberty Series inclusive. And that's really an expose about how things are, how we got here. The names, the people, the organizations. It's really a good series. It's equivalent to a college course, I believe. So thank you for
that. Here's an interesting thing that I've written down here. I did this because I gave this assignment to somebody else. Okay. Now this assignment doesn't have anything to do with today's economy being tanked. This is really talking about the regular economy, the regular banking. Here's an assignment for everyone with the Liberty Series, which I hope is becomes more people. Read Volume 3, Section on Money. Read Volume 3's section on money. Ponder it. Don't just speed read. Ponder it. Think about it. And then think about what's going on in our economy. Read what the banks are doing. Read what the government is doing with money. That's what that section's about. Volume 3, section on money. Ponder it and think about it. Think about your own status, your own place. Where's your money going? Just a thought to maybe tweak a little interest. If you go buy a car today, you borrow the money from a bank, the bank will pay the dealership with a check. You will be on the hook for the amount of the loan, say 40 grand. The dealership's been paid. They have their money. They don't look for any more. You're going to pay $40,000 to the bank in installments, let's just say $2,000 a month. What does the bank do with that $2,000? It's pure profit. How would you like to have a business that allowed you to send a check to a company and collect on that check, collect all the money back from other people, which is exactly what they're doing. They send a check to a dealership and you are on the, are obligated now to send them an equal amount of money on a monthly basis until you've paid it. Paid what? They didn't have any cost anymore. They didn't have any cost for the money to begin with. That was free money for them. They wrote a check. Think about it. Why do banks have such beautiful big buildings? Because they just write checks. They just write checks. You can't just write a check. You got to have a balance.
I write checks, but the bank frowns upon that. My wife, because you have to have money in the bank to write the checks. When I write them, I go crazy. But, you're right.
The bank doesn't have to have any money in the account to write a check.
No.
Not at all.
And that twisted, and I got to tell you, that whole thing really twisted my mind, when I read that. And of course, I was introduced to that in your Liberty Series, and I thought about that, and I didn't quite get it. Now, you and I spoke about this on the air, but you're right. I mean, where does that, so the whole car thing, you buy a car, bank sends money, 40 grand to the dealership is paid. You're paying the bank the money. But it wasn't the bank's money that paid for the car. It is basically what you're saying. Did I get that right? Did I say that right?
Well, yes, you got it right. But what you're doing is the bank knows that they don't have to spend any money. They didn't spend that 40 grand.
Right.
They did not spend any money.
Right.
You are paying them principal and interest, pretending like they did. And they'll keep accounts that say, that sound like they did. And the bankers, the people in the branch, they keep accounts. They think you're paying their loan. They think you're paying a loan.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Again, all this is explained very well in Volume 3, Section on Money. Here's a thought. If you deposit $10,000 in a new account, new money to that bank, they've not seen it before. You deposit $10,000 in that account. They can loan out just in the first two steps. $900,000 on a $10,000 deposit, which they'll pay you about 25 bucks for, and they'll collect interest, just the interest, $81,000 a year. And all the principal, $900,000 comes back to them because you deposited $10,000 in their bank. Now, guys, that's not fiction. That's absolutely true. That's what's going on. That's what's happening to our money. That's how our money is being sent to Europe. Our wealth is fleeing our country because we're being shafted by the banking system. Now, you got to think about it for a minute. What does the bank do? Everybody thinks they're paying for the car. Not only that, if you don't pay for it, they're going to confiscate your car.
I've done that before, and I'll tell you, yeah, they're going to take your car and then resell it and then charge you on any deficiency that might exist.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly. If you're not angry after you finish reading the money thing, you didn't understand it. Start over and do it again.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I got to ask you, and since we're on money, maybe this doesn't have anything to do with it, but right now we're seeing where stores and banks and every place are running out of coins. Now, what's that about? Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about, or is that something different? And what's the agenda behind that? And how are we running out of coinage? Anyway, thought I'd ask you.
I didn't understand that word. Writing out of a what?
Coins. You know, coinage. Quarters. Oh, coinage. Nickels. Yeah, nickels, dimes, quarters.
Well, they're running out of them. Is that what you said?
You can't. Right,
they're running out?
Yeah. You can't go to the store right now, and you cannot get change back for a dollar. You can't get four quarters.
Yes, they are running out. They want that money taken out. Well, you see, it works like this. When you inflate the money into $1 is now equal to, let me just say this. I got to be very careful how I say this because I don't want to be confusing. Today, there's inflation of, let's say, 10%, which there probably is. But anyway, inflation of 10%. Let's just say that. Okay. In let's see, 7 years, the money, this is too complicated. When you pay money back, as it gets less and less valuable, coins become less and less necessary. Pennies don't mean anything today in our society, really. They're just change so that you can, you know, have something to take back to the bank and have them count and put in your account. But the point I'm making is inflation destroys money. It destroys your wealth. It doesn't matter where your wealth is. If it's in the mattress, you still lose with inflation. You lose your money. Inflation kills an economy. If they can inflate our economy to where instead of taking $4 to buy a gallon of milk, it takes 10. Okay. They congratulate themselves because they're destroying the economy and they're getting it. And how are they going to do that? By printing money and sending it to us. Many of us got $1,200 just a few months ago. They're talking about doing it again in September, October, another $1,200 each. I've even heard the words $2,000 basic income.
Yes.
That kind of stuff destroys the economy. Literally, they don't need nickels and dimes and quarters anymore. I was in Brazil a long time ago. I was there in the late 50s, early 60s. Earlier than that, 10 years before, they had coin. They didn't have coin anymore. Oh, I got some because it did exist, but they didn't use it. What used to be the $1 became one cruzeiro, which was equal to what you might have said, one penny, one dime, one nickel, one quarter. But they didn't deal with them anymore. They just dealt with cruzeiros, one and above. The 1,000 cruzeiro note used to be worth something. I saw people in banks with boxes of 1,000 lira notes, they call them a conto, 1,000 lira note wrapped together in 10 at a time, so there was 1,000 conto in, no, 100. The number is too big. 1,000. It means 1,000. Conto meant 1,000 cruzeiros. And they had them bound in groups of 10 with elastic band. And they were stacked up in a box. And they took it to the bank. That's how they dealt in cash. Literally. That's how they were dealing in it. When I got there, the exchange rate was like $2, 250 cruzeiros per dollar. When I left, at one time, it was up to 450 cruzeiros per dollar, and I was only there for a couple of years. That doubled, just a couple of years. That kind of money destroys coins. They don't want us to do coins. Coins are expensive to distribute, to keep track of. They don't want us to be on coins. In fact, they don't want us to be on cash at all. They want to get rid of the cash entirely. But the point I'm just making here is we're setting the stage because they're sending all this money to us, and we're not complaining. And they're sending the money to us, and very soon, our dollar bill will be worth a penny. And we don't even have $500 anymore, so the $100 bill will be worth a dime. So they print bigger ones. Well, wow. Maybe the $100 bill worth a hundred pennies.
Right. Yeah.
No, forget it. I can't do these things quickly in my head.
But you get the idea.
You got the idea that the dollar bill would become equal to a penny.
Yep.
So they won't call it dollar store. Well, the dollar store will be one. Will be, let's see, the dollar store will, never mind. The math is not there. I got to write it down. You got the idea. What's happening to us? That's why coins are going to go out, because they're nonsensical. Nonsensical. You don't need them. They're nonsensical. But they don't want you to use cash either. They want you to use a credit card.
Right.
They can track credit cards. They can track everything you spend on a credit card. You know this because when you go to a place and buy a lot of things, a lot of one thing, let's just say it that way, that store will send you coupons for that one thing to keep you coming back.
Oh, yeah.
How do they know? Because they track your purchases. The store can track your purchases and get things out to you that you bought. Then bingo, the government really can. Amazon, you buy a book on Amazon, they're going to give you a list of other things that pertain to other people that purchased with that book. And in the future, those things are going to pop up on your screen as stuff to buy.
Yep.
They track every one of us. They track every one of us. Well, if we bought things at the store in cash, they couldn't track us.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
I try to use cash everywhere I go. I mean, to me, that's real money, or you hand somebody a card, you really can't. It's kind of a psychological thing. If I've got 10 $10 bills in my hand, I know exactly how much. I mean, I worked for that money. I mean, I know how long I worked for that money. If you hand them a card, it kind of messes with your mind a little bit. So I try to use cash everywhere I go. So
one of the seminars I went to on money was talking about, if you try this experiment. You and your wife together, try this experiment. Don't use any checks or any cards. Buy everything with cash. And see if you don't spend less.
Yep.
That was the assignment. For 1 month, keep track of everything you spend for 1 month. Then the next month, no cards, no checks, just cash. And see if you don't spend less. The reason is because of what you just said, Doug. People, they earn the money when they see it go out of their hand. A $20 bill, I don't buy them pop with a $20 bill. But a $20 on a credit card, no sweat.
It's the same thing, you know, on a craps table. You throw a $20 bill down on the pass line. Yeah, that's a $20. You throw a chip down there, it really is kind of, okay, it's a chip. But
that's why they have chips.
Yeah.
That's why they have.
Yep.
Right. I watched a gentleman. This is back in the 1950s when I was in Vegas. I wasn't very old, but I was standing right next to the roulette table. I wasn't supposed to be there, but I was standing right next to the roulette. A farmer came in. He had to be a farmer because of the way he was dressed, his hat, all this. And this is in the early 50s, by the way. Well, the middle 50s. And he pulled out a $100 bill out of his wallet, put it down on the roulette table. And the cashier, the guy who spins the thing, the guy who collects the money, took that and he put it over a little slot.
Mm-hmm.
And when he lost it, a little thing came up and whammo, that $100 bill went under the table, gone. And I thought to myself, that farmer just lost $100 of his wealth.
Yep.
And it's gone. Whap! It was out of sight.
Oh yeah.
That's different than the chips. Money matters. Money matters.
Yeah. Yep.
Money
matters. Yeah.
Interesting thoughts today. These are interesting thoughts.
Well, a lot of people, especially the younger people today, they're so used to not using cash. They're so used to using, now they have things on your phone, apparently, or so I'm told, that you can buy things, you know, cash apps. I don't know. Eric knows about that stuff. I don't know. I see people, you know, holding their phones up, but they buy a cup of coffee. They hold their phone up and something happens and I don't know what happens. They get their coffee and, you know, I try that and they look at me like, what's your problem? What do you want me to do with your phone? It's a flip phone. Anyway, it's got a dial on it. I mean, it's crazy. So what are you seeing right now? I mean, where should we focus? What's on your mind? What's on your heart?
There's another thing. People have been asking me to discuss some things on the show, and I wasn't here last week, so I had to pile up. Here's something that came this is just this week now. We're not talking a long time ago, just this week. One of the gentlemen who watches the show is a physician. He calls himself a frontline physician. Right. In the city he works in the area he works in, he works right at the beginning when people are coming in to get tested for this disease. Right there in the beginning. He sees it, he's a part of it. He goes to nursing homes. He sees what's going on there with the disease. And he sees what's happening. He said, we've got to understand this, everybody, and you've got to tell everybody. Somehow we've got to get this word out. So I'm going to try to say this as he portrayed it. I did some stuff with mathematics here a few minutes ago, but it's gone. I'm not going to look for it. I'll just tell you what it says. Anyway, so he said, this is what's going on. First, businesses in his city, and I think maybe this is going on more than one place, businesses in his city are beginning to require people to come in and get tested at one of the testing centers before they can go back to work to see if they're positive or not. Now, he said to me, the test that we're using to see if they're positive for COVID-19 detects every kind of cold flu virus, every one of them, and doesn't differentiate. So anybody who has a cold, anybody who has anything to do with the flu, that kind of stuff, is going to test positive. As soon as they test positive, they're required to come back regularly, some in a week, some in a day. I'm just going to assume a day because they want you to be tested over and over again till you test negative. Well, test negative? Okay, so this is what happens. Everybody, 100 people come in. Let's say one testing center, just one testing center. Let's just talk about one. And 100 people come into that testing center each day for a week. That's all, just 100. Now, if the first day, if just 10 people of that 100 have any kind of a cold or flu virus, anything like that, they'll be tested positive. Let's just assume that that testing center only sees that 100 people and only 10 people test positive. Okay? The next day, they see a new 100, and the 10 that were there come back. So now they have 20 positives because they don't keep track of who they are. They have 20 positives. The next day, those 20 come back plus the new 100, so they have 10 more. So now they have 30 on that day. And the next day they have 40 because the 30 come back and they had 10. And the next day, the last day of the week, the 40 come back and they had 10, so they had 50. That week, that one testing center got 150 tests positive. That week, 4 weeks, that's 600. 600 positives of people who have colds and flu, mostly. Now, 600. There are 20 testing centers. Jacksonville, it's reported to me that Jacksonville, Florida, who didn't have any problem, now has 20 centers finding people that are positive. Didn't have any. 20 centers. If those 100 people, this is Jacksonville now, went in each day 1 week, they got 150 positives. That's 600 a month on 20 centers. That's 12,000 cases. Do the math yourself. That's 12,000 cases in 1 month from 20 centers, and they only tested new 500 people. And those only 10% had something wrong, 50, that's all. But they tested them over and over and over again. So every day, the first ones got counted 5 times. The next one got counted 4 times. You see what's happening here? That's what's going on. And he gave me that information precisely. We are in trouble, not because we have a disease, but because the figures are being perverted. Well, we knew they were being perverted already, but listen to that. That's 12,000 cases where they didn't used to have any because there were no testing centers. They find things when they test, but they mostly find cold and flu viruses. But they don't say that. They just knock it down for another positive. You come back again tomorrow. And if they come back, those are the numbers they'll get. One testing center tested only 100 people each day. Only 100, not 200, not 300, no lines.
Right.
100 people is all they tested, and they only found 10 new ones each day. But it came in the 20 centers to 12,000. That's the mathematics of what's going on. So, of course, we're being inundated with the new wave. Of course, it's coming with fury. It's coming. My, oh, my, what are we going to do now? And then you couple that with what I talked about first, that the vaccine that they're doing isn't going to be effective for more than a few months, and everybody's getting 12, 15, 20,000 cases where they didn't used to even have one or two. Oh, my. Oh, the lockdowns are going to carry. They're going to get worse. They're going to roam the streets with people to make sure that we wear masks, that we have, oh, no, we're not going anywhere. They're going to roam the streets, close all the businesses, and we'll be supported by $2,000 from the government. But that won't matter because, you see, all these people are at home. You can have your $2,000 from the government, but there won't be anything to buy.
Okay.
And that's the scenario we're headed for.
And we're,
and that came from a physician online in a city in our country.
And I think I know who that is. I think
I don't want to say any names.
No, no, but I do believe or I know who that is, and I appreciate what he does. I'll just leave it at that. We're already seeing. I'm looking at different locations across the United States. We're seeing short. You mentioned shortages. I'm seeing shortages. Canned goods. You name it. I mean, there's various shortages everywhere. Stores are reporting, the supply line or supply shortages. Let me just see here. Anything in cans, the cans themselves, warehouses that are hardly stocked,
We'll look like Venezuela any day now with empty shelves.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. So, is that the intent? So I'm looking at
that.
This
is the intent. That's to get us as a one world order. That is the intent. The intent is to get us on government dole. It is the government must support us. That's the intent. The intent is to destroy our country. But you see, even Russia, when Russia in the 60s, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, they couldn't feed themselves. The only way they were able to feed themselves was food we sent to them.
Right.
So if we hadn't sent any food, those people would all starve to death. That system doesn't produce any food. So if we're not here to send them, not only will people not have any place to come to be free, we won't have any food to send to people who are socialist countries to feed them.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be really nice, folks, when you go to the store and you can't buy an American-made product because nobody's working. Not because they wouldn't be available, but because they can't make them because they're not working. And the supply line goes from the mine, producing the ore, producing the stuff, has to go through hundreds of hands. You want to have an illustration of how many hands have to take care of one in my one of my volumes. I can't remember exactly which one. I think it's the sixth one. The preface is a eye pencil. It's written by,
right,
or it's published by FEE, Foundation for Economic, no, EFF, Economic Foundation Educational Sound. I don't know. They're a big organization.
Right.
I called them and asked them if I could put it in. They said, yes, go ahead and put it in. Just put our name on it. So I did. It takes a pencil and shows how many people are involved in the creation of a pencil. How much is involved in resources and everything just to make one pencil? Well, all of that has to happen with everything we have. And if any one of those things breaks down and doesn't exist, we won't have the product. Any one of them. I mean, a pencil without any lead in the middle ain't very, very important. And a piece of lead with no wood isn't very important. You can't produce it if they don't have it. They can't have it if we don't go to work and produce, and we're not producing.
Very true. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Wow. New subject, new subject. As if we needed a new subject. Here we've been going an hour and I've just covered a couple. This is my last one, by the way. An individual called and said, I'm having a problem with this idea of natural born citizen. Please help me with what the dickens a natural born citizen is. And of course, that becomes an issue because of the president. So let's not worry about the fact that the president's being selected incorrectly. Let's worry about what a natural born citizen is. That's really up for grabs. 17. This is 1790. 1790, and this is written in my book about natural born citizens. I think it's in Saving the Constitution. 1790, the Congress of that era passed the bill that said children of parents that are U.S. citizens. In other words, parents is plural. So to be a natural born citizen in 1790, in accordance with the law that we had, which followed the law of England, because that's where a lot of our laws came from, it followed that same law. To be a natural born citizen, you had to be a child of two natural born, well, two citizens, not natural born, two citizens. Okay? That was what it was in 1970. Since 1970, we've had all kinds of stuff come up with people trying to run for president that are not natural born citizens. One of them got away with it. Was even reelected and ruined our country, really. Anyway, 2015 now, Harvard Law Review, big, huge article. I mean, it was a real long article. It talked about all kinds of aspects, including the stuff I just talked about in 1790. Their review came to the conclusion, in today's society, one U.S. citizen parent is sufficient to be considered a natural born citizen. It didn't say which one. It just said one parent is what's required to be a natural born citizen. Just one. It also didn't say where the child had to be born. The implication in, because of the military, because of ambassadors, because of all the people we have overseas that have children, those children will be citizens of the United States if one of their parents is a citizen of the United States. That's how Harvard Law Review called it. Now, what did I say in my book, Constitution book? Two parents, just like they said in 1790, would be correct, because that was the intent of the founding fathers. Two parents that are U.S. citizens. But that's not what we're doing today. And that begs the question of anchor babies. How come we can have these people come over across the border, have a baby, and go home, and that kid's now a U.S. citizen? No, that's not what it's supposed to be. The 14th Amendment, where this comes from, it was written because of the slavery issue. They wanted to make sure that all the slaves would be considered citizens. They wanted to have that done.
Right.
So that's what the 14th Amendment was about. In the first paragraph of the 14th Amendment, it talks about becoming a citizen. And it says, the first phrase, anyone born on U.S. soil is a U.S. citizen. Says that. I paraphrase it, but that's what it says. But that's not where it stops. But that's where we stopped, because we don't have to read everything, just one phrase. But the other one says, and are under the jurisdiction of the United States. Aha. So if a child comes, a lady comes to this country, and she has a child in this country, that's called an anchor baby, because then it can bring everybody. But in fact, that child's not under the jurisdiction of the United States. Therefore, that child is not a citizen, and they've just had a trip for no reason.
Okay, why? Why? And this is a question I had now, and I think a lot of people might have this. If a child is born in the United States, why would that child not be subject to the laws of the United States?
Because that child is not subject to any laws yet. It's a child of the parents. That child is not under the jurisdiction of the country. That child is not accountable. It's a baby, not accountable. Just because he was born here doesn't mean he's under the jurisdiction. Now, remember, the young lady wasn't a citizen, so that didn't help.
Right.
But the child and the lady, none of those people are under the jurisdiction of the United States. because they're not required to follow United States laws and required to be United States citizens, or not required to be a United States. Jurisdiction means that you're required, the government requires you to do things. That's the jurisdiction. You are looking to that government for your guidance. That's what jurisdiction means. You are there and they have power over you, or you're a part of the organization, or you're there to stay. Somebody who lives here who has a child that way is under the jurisdiction. You see?
Okay. Now let me, if you don't mind, let me back up, because it wasn't not from your books I was reading, wasn't not the intent of our founders to create this natural born citizen or constitutional eligibility requirement because of English subjects being born and having an allegiance to England at the time the Constitution was drafted and thereafter, specifically the generation or so after the Constitution was ratified? Is that...
They didn't want people who were British in intent be
right.
President of the United States.
Correct. That's what I got out of your book, and that's what I got out of the Constitution as I read it with
yes,
how your book was
about.
Written. Right. So
it's about.
Okay. And it's all about, and this goes to Obama. This is all about allegiance to the United
yes.
States.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
And he didn't have allegiance to the United States. He had allegiance to the Muslims.
That's right. I agree with that.
No matter what country, he had allegiance to the Muslims.
Yeah.
He was under the jurisdiction, though. But now let's talk about another part of this. Here, oh, no, the concept was went away. Oh, no, this is terrible. Oh, yes, it's back again. Let's look at, it comes up because of the President of the United States. And the eligibility in the Constitution is very clear. But it became unclear because people who are citizens wanted to run for president. You hear that sentence? That person wanted to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And if he ran for president and he was popular enough, he could become president. Did you hear all those words? Popular enough. He chose to run. If enough people wanted him, he was popular enough. You know, like Schwarzenegger, when he wanted to run and get elected to become president.
Yep.
He did, but he didn't do it because he wasn't, everybody knew he had been born somewhere else. Okay, anyway, so he wasn't able to. Well, nobody knew about Obama because his records were all hidden and falsified. Anyway, so here we go. If we're going to talk about the Constitution and natural born citizen, let us talk about the Constitution for president, because that's what we're talking about. The Electoral College, remember we talked about this 2 weeks ago. The Electoral College are supposed to select people. They don't get selected. They don't choose. The polish chooses. If Schwarzenegger wanted to be president, he would have to have enough people in the Electoral College nominate him or vote for him. Not because he's popular, but because they choose him as a statesman that they feel should represent our country. That's what the Electoral College is about. The Electoral College is to find people who they feel would be the best person in the country right now to be president of the country. That's what it's about. It's not about my deciding I want to run for president. It's not about popularity. It's not about having advertisements who's going to vote for. It's about a group of people who we have elected in our states one way or another, who are choosing the person who would best be able to run our country. And what we've done, and this started in 1800, what we've done is we've turned it into a circus, and now it's turned out to be whoever has the most money wins. That's not choosing statesmen. That's not choosing the best for the country. That's not choosing the direction of the country. That's choosing the direction of money, one person, and how he looks on TV, and all that kind of stuff. Everybody says, well, we want to vote. Yes, absolutely. You vote for an Electoral College member who looks over the whole program and selects someone. I'm going to use an example I read about in Lee Iacocca's book. They approached him and asked him to run for president. That was one of the parties approached him. Now, Had it been done in accordance with the Constitution, the electoral guys in the Electoral College would have sat back and said, you know, Lee Iacocca is really a good guy. And if enough people felt that way, he would rise to the top. Now, Lee Iacocca refused the party. I will not run. I will not do it. Why? Because I won't put up with the garbage the media will throw at me. And we lost the possibility of a man who was honest, who tried really hard and did bring Chrysler around, did do it, and did pay back the debt that the government gave Chrysler to keep it going. No other auto company did that. Did do that, set up a company that was working, doing a good job. He had the skill, but he wouldn't do it. And we lost him because the Electoral College isn't working anymore. Oh, it is working. It's working in the Pratt House. They choose who they want, who'll be the best for them. They don't care about us. They choose who'll be the best for them to get what their issue is done. Anyway, folks, that's where we are.
Okay, so from a constitutional perspective, the Electoral College is there to vote. Let me rephrase this as to apply it to this coming election. I'm not even sure how to phrase the question. What does the Electoral College do?
Okay, let's talk about Electoral College, how it should be doing in this election year. In November,
right.
This election year. Actually, it's in December. That's when the date is. In December of this election year, what should the Electoral College be doing? Should they be voting for the popular election in their states? No. Those people who have been selected will all meet in their own state. Idaho will have theirs, Montana will have theirs, Ohio will have theirs. They'll all meet in a particular place in their own state. And individually, every one of them will select two people. Vote for two people is how the Constitution says it. One within their state and one outside of their state if they want to. They cannot have two outside. They cannot have, they don't have two outside their state. They have one in their state and one outside. They can't have two in their state. That's the way it works. You can't have two in your state that you select. They can both be outside or one in the state and one outside. Now that's how it's set up in the Constitution. It was the 12th Amendment that screwed that up, the beginning of screwing that up. But anyway, so what we have now is each one of those people select two. Then that selection is all compiled and sent to the Senate Pro Tem in Washington, D.C. under seal. Then those people, that's what would happen in December of this year. They would get together and they would do a count of how many of those, this December, they would do a count of how many people each person selected so they could see how many votes the Electoral College gave each person. By the way, the Electoral College, after they gave the names, went home. They didn't have anything more to do. They went home. They came, did one thing, and went home. That's how it worked.
All right.
In the first two elections, maybe the first three elections, that's how it worked. Anyway, so now they would then look and they'd count them. Now there's all kinds of things that could be done different. They could have one person that had 90% of the vote. That's a clear majority. They could have a person that had more than anybody else, but only have 30% of the vote or even 20%. They picked those that had the top five that had the most votes. Those five.
The most popular vote, right?
No. The most votes of the Electoral College.
Okay. All right.
And the Electoral College is choosing the statesman they feel would be the best to be president of the country.
And none of those people have to be on the ballot, so to speak, right?
There's no ballot. There's no ballot.
Okay. So the dog catcher, John Smith, the dog catcher can be selected by the Electoral.
If the Electoral College people all over the United States knew about Dog Smith, the dog catcher, and they right. all thought he was the finest man there was, yes, they could select him.
Okay.
He wouldn't even know it. He's been selected. He wouldn't even know it.
Wouldn't that
until
be
he got
rush?
The phone call that you've been chosen to be president. Now, he can refuse to do it, and then they can go through the thing again. But he wouldn't even know it until they get the phone call. What about that for a phone call?
Yeah.
Hey, Martha. I believe Lee Iacocca would have been elected president under the proper system, and we would have had a better country because of it. And we'd have had a better country every year because of it, ever since the year 1800.
Okay. So what the heck happened?
Oh, what happened? Well, parties. There were the Whig Party and there was a Democrat Party, and they wanted power. And so they chose some people to run. And those are the people who ran. And that was 1800. They chose them. The party did. Later on, and they chose them all the way up, all through the 1800s. The party always chose who was going to run. The people didn't. The party chose them. You say you want to vote. You want your vote to count for president. Well, I'm sorry. Your vote counts, but it only counts on somebody else's choice. You can't choose. You don't have any more say than you had if you chose an electoral college member. You might have a better if you chose an electoral college member. But right now, you have no say whatsoever in who you're going to vote for. No say at all. You think you do. No, you don't. The political parties have decided who you're going to vote for. And they have decided who's going to run for vice president. They've decided all those things. You must choose among the people they chose.
Okay.
And that's how it's done, folks. Today, you don't choose anything. Now, they'll say that we're going to have conventions in all these states, and that if you have enough electoral college votes, you know, you get to be president because they're going to go to convention with electoral college votes. That's all ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. It's all planned. It's all figured. It's all done in the back rooms. Count on it. Done in the back room.
Okay.
Trump got there because we forced him to be taken. This time, the people did do it. Okay. We forced them to take him.
That kind of wraps it around to how did we force
the parties, the Republican Party?
Well, how did we force the Electoral College?
Oh, we can't force that.
Okay, well, what made the Electoral College say Donald Trump is the guy?
Oh, because of what we've done with how we've perverted the Constitution. Because we've set that up. We know how many Electoral College votes there are because there's two per guy. We know how many electorals there are. There's 535.
Right.
So two per guy is two times 535. That's the number of electoral votes. That's
1,070.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's the number. That's how it came about. And that's all right. It's just not right how it got to the number and how it was done. Now those people are selected in their states to go vote. But how are they selected? They're selected by the people to go vote in the Electoral College voting system that's done in Washington, D.C., as they all gather together.
Instead of in the states. Okay.
And we forced them because we got behind Trump so much that they couldn't ignore him. That we never could force them to get Ron Paul. We never were powerful enough to get Ron Paul, but we were powerful enough to get Donald Trump. And he has not failed us either, folks. He has not failed us. What you don't know is what would have happened if he had not been there. You see, you don't know that. You can speculate all day, but you don't know what would have been had he not been there. So you get my book, the Liberty Series, and you read that. Then you will know what would have been there if he hadn't been there.
Yeah, which, by the way, is frightening. Yes, I totally agree with you on that. Now, but so why? Okay, I know what you said, but why wasn't it Hillary Clinton instead, as everyone expected, given the?
Because you see, the expectation was created by the polls and the media. And they were not in tune to what was really going on in the country. Over 3,000 counties, their count votes all were for, not all, but the majority of over 3,000 counties voted for Trump.
Right.
The majority of the people in 3,000 counties, she didn't get any popular vote. She just got numbers from Washington, California, New York.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's all that happened.
Yeah.
And everybody thought she would win because of that power, but they didn't figure out all the people in the middle of the country, the overfly people, the deplorables. They didn't figure on them. And they actually brought him under in the Electoral College count. He's the only one since the time of Wilson that has gotten into the presidency that has not been approved by the Pratt House.
Okay. Now, I understand that. Okay. So now here's my question to you. Given 2016, given that scenario you described in 2016, will they allow this to happen again with Donald Trump in a reelection scenario?
Oh, you know, I summarize it this way. If Jesus Christ wants Trump to be president again, he will be. But if he's so fed up with us, he, Jesus Christ, is so fed up with us, the citizens of this country, and we are so wicked and we will not repent, if he's fed up with us at this point, then Trump won't be elected, period. Because he's the guy who's been the stopper. He's the guy.
Wow.
But if Jesus Christ wants Trump to be elected, he will be. But if not, the polls are going to be stacked. Everything's going to be stacked. The ballot boxes are going to be stacked. Everything's going to be stacked. Everything. He will not be elected if Jesus Christ does not want him there because he's fed up with us.
Right.
Wow. And it comes right back to us, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. Okay.
So it doesn't matter what the Democrats are going to play. It doesn't matter what they're going to do. If Jesus Christ wants him as president, he will be.
Right.
Isn't that kind of a correct statement? And it doesn't matter what the opposition wants. It doesn't matter what Satan wants. He will be president if Jesus Christ wants him to be president, which means that Jesus Christ wants this country to still struggle along trying to do better. Now, remember back in the Bible with Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot lived in Sodom. Abraham, God said to Abraham, in a discussion, they had a discussion back and forth. That's an interesting supposition, isn't it? But anyway, Abraham and God had a discussion. That's what's written in the book. And God said, you know, I'm going to destroy those cities. Period. I'm done with those cities. And Abraham said, well, if there are 50 righteous, will you spare it for those 50 people? Okay, I'll spare it for 50. What about 40? 30? What about 10? What about 5? Well, you got it down to 10. And the Lord finally says, okay, if there are 10, I'll spare the city for 10. But there were only 4. So, took care of that really quick. The point I'm making is, if we have enough honest people living the Ten Commandments, that's what we consider honest people living the Ten Commandments. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Live the Ten Commandments. Although he didn't have the Ten Commandments, the concept's the same. Here we have, if we have enough people honestly living the Ten Commandments, and the Lord feels that we still have a chance, that's what'll matter. But if we don't have enough honest people living the Ten Commandments, it'll be the other way.
And then all hell's going to break loose, and I mean that in the most literal sense.
Yes, it will. If Trump's elected again, it will all hell will break loose. Absolutely right. And we must be prepared for that, folks. You must have your militias to be prepared for that. If you don't have your militia, your city's going to be trashed.
Well, you know, look at Portland. I think the last 45 days, there are 46, 7 days. I don't know what it is, but there's been riots there every single day. So
they don't have a militia to stop them, and the police can't do it.
They're not doing it. They can, but they're not. Yes.
They're not. So why don't the people in Portland understand what we're trying to tell them? I'm holding this book up. Constitution. It says have a militia. It says Oregon, have a militia.
But wait a second. But by that book, you would have to get that across through the council. And of course, the council, they're going to say, get bent. You know, we like it the way it is. You know.
Yes, that's what they're going to say because they're a part of the people who want this to happen.
Right.
You see, those people who are from the Pratt House organization, they want this to happen. They want the destruction of this country. They've been trying to get it done for 100 years.
Right.
They want this country destroyed. So the One World Order takes over. Kissinger said, the day is going to come when you're going to be glad that the UN forces come in to quell the riots and bring us back peace again. What that means is we're under the control of the United Nations. That's what that sentence means. And he said that. And the riots are the kind of thing, if we had militias, we could control these riots. If we don't, the UN will send troops, or the government will send troops, and we'll be under government rule or UN rule, and we won't have state rule like we have today. We won't. It'll be gone.
Which,
and Trump's elected count on this problem.
If Trump is elected, count on this problem, meaning that I almost get the feeling that you're saying, well, if Trump becomes, if Trump gets reelected, this is not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. Then why would we want to have Donald Trump as president? One might ask.
So we could save our country.
Right.
Don't you think we want to save our country?
Oh, 100. Yeah, yes, I do.
That's why we want him.
But I want to make sure I'm understanding you correctly, though. If Donald Trump gets elected, all hell's going to break loose. So wait a second. Why?
Why will it break loose?
Yeah.
Well, just look what happened last year in November when he was elected. Now look what's happening since then. Now look what's going on this election year.
Right.
All you have to do is just put the pegs in a line or the thing in a line and just see these people don't want him. These people are anarchists. These people are insurrectionists. These people want this country destroyed. If he's elected again, that will give them impetus to even do more than they're doing now. And if you don't have a way to protect your community, you will be destroyed, just like these other communities are being destroyed.
Okay. And in terms of Biden getting elected, all hell's going to break loose as well, but in a different form and fashion.
Yeah, it will be different, but these rioters won't be nearly as upset. They'll find they still want to destroy the country.
Okay? Oh yeah,
but it'll still go. But the Pratt House will cheer, and more will happen to destroy our country.
All right, yeah, that's it. So okay, wow.
And the pattern of all of this stuff is outlined in the Liberty Series. All of this is outlined. The pattern is outlined.
It is.
The steps. Everything that's happened is by original articles. Everything has happened in a sequence. You can see the sequence.
But I got to tell you, when you talk it out, it's a little bit more, it's different than when you read it. I mean, I read it and I consider myself pretty well versed in the Liberty Series. But hearing this, I'm thinking, okay, so, I don't even know what to think, except
it's a tough time.
Yeah.
But we need to have Trump elected again.
I agree.
And we need to be prepared in each community to defend ourselves against the insurrectionists.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Both of those need to be done. We must get ready to legally defend our communities.
Amen to that. The Liberty Series, of course, on provisinstitute.com, Saving the Constitution, at the very least, Liberty Series. Grab that, as well as the economic books there at provisinstitute.com. Please, folks, order it today. You know, I say that every time Dr. Proctor's on, and you know, I really mean this because we need to have this fundamental understanding. And by fundamental understanding, I mean really this rudimentary. Okay, it's just this simple. It's not necessarily easy, but it's simple. It's not rocket science. It's following the manual that I would say is given to us to operate the United States. Okay, I fully understand this. But on the other hand, now I'm looking too at the states. You know, when it comes to, since we're talking about unrest and stuff, well, a big bone of contention, and you and I have spoken about this before, are the face masks. I'm trying to think of, where's this going? Where's this going to go?
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. 12,000 people from 20 centers in the Florida. 12,000. Everybody, the government's going to say, oh, we've got to stop this. We've got to stop it. We better have more face masks. Better have more lockdown. That's what they're going to do. That's what those governments that are, and the government will perpetuate this for as long as the government wants it perpetuated. And now the vaccine, you're going to take it, have two shots a month apart, and then a few months later you got to have another one, a few months later you have another one, you got to have another one, because this disease is never going to go away. That's the, that is right now, that's the current words coming down the pipe. This right. is not ever going to go away. Therefore, we're going to have a shot every few months to protect ourselves. And every few months, you know, and because it's so bad, we're going to continue to test, and we'll continue to find 12,000 out of every city. We're going to, oh, this is just going to inundate us, and they'll continue to do all the things that are working. And I'll tell you who the sheep are, you know, who the sheep are, who are being gullible. The gullible people are those who are wearing masks.
I agree with you on that. I know there are people that disagree with you on that, but I certainly agree with you on that because, yeah, masks in this case don't do anything. I had a conversation with a medical doctor this week who said, I've had it. I've had it. I can't believe this, you know, this, everyone's a sheep and everyone's a, you know, and these masks don't do a damn thing. And it's, again, it's kind of like, swatting at mosquitoes with a tennis racket. It's just not going to work.
Here's an interesting statistic that came from some people who create filters. Okay. Now, I didn't talk to them myself. A good friend of mine talked to them, and he reported it to me. I have a lot of stuff being reported to me. The best these masks will ever do, the best any of them will ever do, is filter out something 3 microns or bigger. That's the best they can do. Most of them will not filter that at all. Anything that's less than 3 microns will go through the mask like water through a sieve. Okay? Niagara Falls, you won't collect any water in a city and put it under Niagara Falls because it's all just going to go right through it. Put that in your thought pattern. The disease germ is 1 micron, which is 100 millionth. Did you hear that name? 1 micron is 100 millionth. That's how small it is. It's 100 millionth of a meter. That's a micron. 100 millionth of a meter. That's a micron. So that will go through anything that they're putting on their faces. Anything at all. There is no barrier. It's done. 100 millionth of a meter is a micron. Nothing that we're wearing will filter out probably no more than 50. But right. the best they're doing is only 3, and it still goes through like a sieve. Water through a sieve.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers here right now. Supposedly 500,000 dead around the world since the beginning of this. So 500,000. Relatively speaking, unless you're one of the 500,000 or a family member of one, you know, it's just a mere statistic. Unless, of course, you are that statistic or you're near that. So, okay. So what? The flu, seasonal flu and other such viruses, create more mortality than that.
Yeah. Hundreds, thousands, millions, billion. Okay, there's 7 billion. If you put 500 million on that.
Half a million.
Right. I mean, yeah. 500 million, that's 500,000,000.
Right.
It is, you know.
500 million is a 500,000,000. 500, or I'm sorry. 500,000.
How many, Give that again.
Okay. There's 500,000 dead.
500,000, not 500 million. 500,000 deaths.
So right.
You're going to divide 500 into 7 million. Let's see if my computer will do that.
7 billion.
7 billion. Yeah, but if you divide 500, you divide 50 into, if you have 7, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 500, and you take off those other two zeros. So 5 divided by 7 equals 5 divided by 7.
Tomorrow we'll be working on our numbers and colors.
Right. It's something like in the neighborhood of a 7/100 of a percent or some number like that.
It's a very small, it's a tiny number.
It's so small, you can't visualize it. You'd never even consider it anything. But you see, here's another factor. If there were that many deaths, we would know personally people that had it happen to them. They're not all everywhere else.
Right.
They got to be somewhere around us.
Well, 150,000 supposedly, roughly, last I saw in the United States. So if our demographic is mostly in the United States, you would think that somebody knows somebody.
Yeah, you'd have some knowledge. Somebody lives somewhere in a state that you'd know. You'd have some knowledge of these things. If that many people had died, it would be apparent somewhere, somehow.
Mm.
150,000? That would be apparent.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people who have had people die in the Twin Towers, and that was only 3,000, not 150.
Right.
If you have 150,000 people die of that thing in this country, we would know of someone who's died. Generally speaking, people have been common knowledge. I know of nobody. I only know of three that even had the case. A real case. I only know of three in my entire collection of people I talk to and I hear. I only know of three. And I only know of one close by here in Utah. But there's bound to have been more than one, but I only know of one. This is not out in the open. All these statistics are. I took a class. It was called How to Lie with Statistics. Oh, you could really do it. These people are experts.
Yeah.
You can say there's 150,000 when I know that 150,000 has lots and lots of people who died of other things. I know they did. I know it.
Yeah. All right. So what bothers me the most, and I guess it's almost like, to some, it's like this is like beating a dead horse, or just saying, well, what else is there to talk about? But the fact of the matter is, the timing of this, the response to this, how many people have lost their jobs, lost their savings, lost their livelihoods, same as jobs, I guess, and the damage done to the economy, irreparable damage, and now they're saying, well, you know, we need to close. We need to restrict travel. You've got travel restrictions now to different states. You've got quarantine mandatory in different states. The heavy fines in the event you get caught not bringing your health papers with you. For example, New York, $10,000 fine. So what the heck? I mean, all at one time now, and it seems like I don't know. By the way, somebody had sent a question in, and I think you had answered this before. Is it constitutionally allowable for a governor to mandate anything in terms of commerce in their own state? So
it is not legal. It can't be. It's not in. There's no such thing. It can't be done. People say, well, you can do it during a pandemic. No, you can't. It's not legal. You can suggest, you can recommend, you can do all the stuff you want, but you cannot force those things. A government official can't force any of that. Now, the company you work in can, because it's their private property. They can, but the government cannot. nor can the government force a company either. The government can't do it. The government can suggest. By the way, if there are 150,000 in the United States that have died from this, that is a ratio of 0.0045%. Yeah, 0.5, which is 0.45%. Less than half a percent. Less than half a percent of the population of the United States has right. died. But even so, that's still half a percent.
Yeah.
But even so, 150,000 people would know about it. I would know people. Everybody would know people this had happened to. 150,000 is three times. That's five. That's anyway. We would know about it. We would know. 150,000 is a very big number. I've been told of people, family members, but by family members told the family members that died in the Twin Towers. We know about those deaths. Those deaths in the Twin Towers are not hidden. We know about it.
Right.
And we know people who knew of people who did it. I know that's too removed, but it's still there. I don't know of anybody who knows anybody who's died from this. I'm sure there's somebody that I know that might tell me there's one, but 150,000 deaths and it's this hidden? Now, here's another thing. Here's another statistic. Statistics are important, but here's another item. Remember I mentioned just a few minutes ago that two companies came out and said the antibodies don't survive,
yes.
And then another one today came out and said that.
Yeah.
How interesting is that? As it begins to slow down, as the whole thing begins to slow down, people are going out of lockdown, people are getting away from doing some stuff, we're getting some people back to work. All of a sudden, we have a plethora of new cases, and then in two days of a week, the news comes out with, however it came out, with three companies that now have studies that show that the disease doesn't go away, you don't get immune from it. How come that was so put together that three happened at the same time?
Yeah,
Not one.
That's curious.
And then 6 weeks later, another one. But all three of them in the same days?
Yeah, it suddenly everyone found the same thing at the same time. Yeah,
Yes, it boggles the imagination, doesn't it?
It does.
They really do think we're dummies, and you know what? We are. As a country, we're going to swallow that hook, line, and sinkers. Oh, no, I'll have to have shots forever.
Okay, so one other question, and I know I asked you this before. There's nothing in the Constitution. I mean, no one can, constitutionally speaking, no one can force you to get a vaccination. Am I right?
That is right. Fourth Amendment. You are right.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, the next question I have was, would there be anything, any aggravating circumstance that would negate that constitutional restriction?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question to answer that one. When the Founding Fathers wrote the document, they were concerned about governments taking over people. They were very concerned about that.
Yep.
The Second Amendment is about that. Governments taking over the people. The states and the people did not want the government to be able to take over the people.
Right.
We are our own people. I know when I'm sick and I know when I'm not sick. I don't want the government treating me as if I'm sick, whether I am or not. They don't have the right to violate my person under any circumstance. They have the power to do it. They can force it on you, bring the military and shove you down and pin you down and shove it in you. They can do that. Oh, yes. but constitutionally, they do not have the right, the authority to do it. Nothing. It doesn't matter. If it's a pandemic, people aren't so stupid. Let's refer back to the pandemic of the 1800s. I mean, the 1918.
Right.
I don't really have a lot of the information about that pandemic. But you know what? They didn't have all these lockdowns. They didn't try to force people to do this and do that and do the other. And millions did die for that, from that pandemic. It really was one. But these things didn't happen. Are we stupider today than they were then? And someone will say, well, if we had done these things, we wouldn't have had those millions. Well, if we'd done the things, how come these things, since we've done all these measures to not have those millions, how come the cases are growing while we're doing the things that prevent it?
Good point. And I've heard many pundits ask that very same question.
Yes.
How's that even possible?
We're doing all these things that are supposed to stop it, and nothing does. That's because there's nothing to stop. And that's because the figures are all being falsified as they're published. And that's because other people attended that How to Lie to Statistics than I did. Other people besides me attended that class.
Right. Wow. All right.
The Constitution is to protect us against the government. That's what it's for. And it's to protect us against human nature. That's what it's for. It's not out of date. It's right on target. Follow it would be okay. They did not do these things during the pandemic of the 1800, and it went away in 2 years.
Folks, Saving the Constitution is the book to get. Saving the Constitution, also the Liberty series, all available at provisinstitute.com. I would urge everyone to grab that copy, grab two, send one to your congressperson. Look, we need to really become educated in this. I can't believe how quickly this has gone. We only have like 15 minutes left or 18 minutes left of the show. I'm going to make sure that you get in everything that you want to get in. So if I'm going to kind of turn it over to you and tell you that
I'm really big there when I lean in like that, aren't I? Big headed. When you started saying they got big headed.
Well,
I've taken over the show from the day one, from the beginning. After you did the Reagan shot, I've taken over. I'm sorry, Doug. I didn't mean to take over. Yes, I did. I had stuff to talk about.
and I'm glad. Otherwise, look, I could sit here anytime. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're talking about this. I mean, it's not like we don't have enough to talk about of the constitutionality of the riotous behavior by these Marxist insurgents to COVID. I mean, you name it. We've got constitutional problems everywhere. The Supreme Court, by the way, I don't even get me started there. So, feel free to take it wherever you want to take it.
I'd like to ask you a question. Like to ask you a question.
All right.
2 weeks ago, maybe it was three, you had a handout or a document from the Rockefeller Foundation printed in 2010.
Yep.
You showed it on the screen. Do you have that document in PDF form?
I do. I don't know if I have it handy. Do we have it handy?
No, I'm not asking it to be handy. I'm just asking if you have it.
I do.
If you have it, I want it.
Okay, I'll send it to you. How's that?
Yes, I want that document.
As a matter of fact.
That document is a cooperative document.
I'm pretty sure.
2010, chapter 18, they predicted this.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's in the program description box from the time I mentioned it. But I'll put it in the program description box. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me, please.
And, yeah, we'll get that done.
PDF version.
Yeah.
I want to read all of chapter 18.
Yeah, that was bizarre, obviously. And, we saw event 201 take place where the same scenario was talked about. I mean, this whole, there it is right there.
That's
on the screen.
Right there. That's it.
Yep.
Scenarios for the future of technology and international development.
I'm going to tell you, Eric,
international development is the important part of that sentence.
Yep.
UN. We could call that UN.
Yeah. Yeah. And notice Global Business Network, and this gets into all of the, it gets in at the periphery of the Gates Foundations and other supposed philanthropic entities. Well, it's not about that.
This is a document that you need to not lose, because this is a document that's giving a foundation of things that are going to occur. Mm. It's planned. This is a document. You've picked out chapter 18. Oh, my.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the whole thing. It's planned. Have any of you folks ever read, I'm asking you this question seriously, have any of you ever read, or do you have a copy of Philip Drew Administrator?
I knew you were going to ask. When you started that question, I knew that's what you were going to ask. But
yes.
Folks, answer. Studio audience, anybody?
Published in 1912.
Yep.
1911. Do you have a copy? I do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a copy. I've read it, put a lot of pertinent points in the Liberty series. This is as valuable as that is, because this is a document that was dated in 2010 that shows what these people are planning to do. Yep. Did you guys know? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. If you read the war series in the Liberty, you know it. Did you know that John Marshall, the chief of staff of the United States with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, brought in the major networks, reporters, the major reporters of the country into his office on or around November the 15th of 1941 and told them what was going to happen, but told them they couldn't print it till after it happened. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
You're talking about Pearl Harbor.
Yes, exactly. Talking about that.
Our entrance into World War II.
In my Liberty series, I talk about how the federal government of the United States tracked that convoy of ships from Japan so they knew where they were for the last several days before the attack.
We intercepted cables.
Yes. Yes, we did. They knew. Did you know that the United States government stopped any ships leaving our ports from going through the North Pacific so they wouldn't interrupt this convoy?
Rerouted them, yes.
Yeah, rerouted yep. or stopped them and held them.
Yep.
Did you know that the commander, Air Corps and Navy, were told they could not send their search planes north of Hawaii?
Yep.
Did you know that? And those things were all planned. All we have to do is know them.
If people understood the history that you're talking about, there would be outrage. There should be outrage.
There should be. Should be. In fact, all this information is contained in these books, every bit of it that I talk about. So, how can you put a price on all that knowledge and information so you know where your government is, so you know what it's doing to you because you've seen it happen before? Those patterns tell me exactly what happened to the Oklahoma City bombing and exactly what happened to the World Trade Center. That's the pattern.
Yep.
You know exactly what happened. Just read that. You see the pattern.
Yep. There it is.
You see why it happened? You see where the government went afterwards? It's all there. It's not hidden at all. But if you don't know the pattern, it is all hidden. And if you don't know this stuff that's in that book, you won't believe the pattern because it just couldn't be. It couldn't be in the United States that would happen. Oh, sure, the government wouldn't do that. Oh, no, you haven't got that correct. Because the people don't read the history to discover it.
And I'm amazed at how many people today are surprised that the intelligence community, including the Five Eyes, would set up, spy on, and attempt to frame a president of the United States using all the assets available to them, when in fact it's not the first time something like this happened. You've written about it, the Liberty series at provisinstitute.com. Buy that, read that, become familiar with it. So you can almost predict with frightening accuracy what's taking place now, but what's going to happen in the future. It's going to be more of the same.
I just made a prediction about the day after November, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
After the election in November.
Yes.
All I'm doing is looking at the pattern and looking what's going on now and saying, well, that's the score. Yep. That's going to happen that way. That's all I'm doing.
Is there, okay. Let me ask you, and folks, bear with me. Dr. Proctor, bear with me. We have laws on the books here. Murder is illegal. It's frowned upon, you know, by decent people. Right? but I would argue that some people need killing. Okay, that's just the.
Yeah, they do. It would sure be better if they were.
Okay.
I can name a whole bunch.
Yeah, me too. See. Hey, I got a list. You want to see my list, folks? Ask Eric. How many names are on that list? Huh?
It's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary. You're doggone right it is.
It's a novel. It's a novel.
It's a novel.
Three-book series.
Three. Let me ask you something, Doctor. At what point do we say, you know, this ain't working? I mean, we need to get back to the Constitution, but following the Constitution to get back to the Constitution, it's not working. So you know what? I'm going to dust off my weapon of choice and go out and take care of business myself, me and about, 10,000 other people. At what point do we do that, or do we do that, or don't we do that, or shouldn't we do? Well, I mean, I'm asking for a moral decision there, but when things aren't working.
I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. I know that it's valid. I know that people need to be removed, but I don't think you should do it. If you have an organization that's with you, that an elected organization. Let's just talk about a state, not Washington.
Right.
Let's just take a state.
Right.
That's a small enough geographical area. If you know that this is going on and you know that that government is actually destroying your environment, okay, you know those things. You pick up your Declaration of Independence and you read the line that says, we have an obligation to alter or abolish that government. You organize yourself officially with legal authority in accordance with the Constitution, because that's what we're using. You go arrest those guys, put them in jail. Don't kill them. Arrest those guys, put them in jail, and put them on trial for what they've been doing. And some of the judges that you would use, you're going to have to put in there with them.
Okay.
The thing I'm trying to say is, the law is the law. We can't rise above it. We can't say, oh, this is terrible. We're going to rise above it. We're going to go shoot them. You can't do that. I understand the motivation. I understand the purpose, and I know they need to be removed. But they could be removed that way.
Okay. Instead of you know, needing to kill them, we'll just say needing justice, removed.
Removed, put them in prison? I would go with that.
Okay, so...
citizen's arrest, they call it.
Yeah, but can you imagine, like, a bunch of us getting together and going to make citizen's arrest of, give me a name. I don't know.
Let's just pick the governor in Michigan. Yeah. They needed to arrest her and throw her in jail.
Okay, yeah, let's she pick
caused,
her. Yeah.
She caused terrible problems.
All right. So let's go get her.
Yes. We should go to the Supreme Court and arrest her.
I'm ready.
Four of those people.
Oh. Well,
maybe we should arrest all but Clarence Thomas. Maybe.
I guess that's my thinking. I mean,
Clarence Thomas is the only voice on that group of people that has reason and understands anything about the law and Constitution. He just does the best he can.
Even Trump's people didn't, you know, nominees didn't, they pooped the bed there.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are particular government officials that have power that beyond their means, and they should be removed from office. Now, right. Another way to remove them from office is this November in the ballot box. Stop voting for these people. Don't vote for any of these people in Washington, D.C., in Congress. Don't vote for any of the people in your state that did not help you during this time. Don't vote for anybody that caused any lockdown. Don't vote for anybody that caused you any undue harm whatsoever, your business or your home or anything. Don't vote for any of them.
Okay, stop right there. Let's say everyone wrote your name in. I mean, I don't know how many voters we have, but let's say there are 300 million votes for Richard Proctor. Wouldn't that be poo-pooed by the Electoral College?
Wouldn't that be, what did you just say?
Wouldn't that be, you know, wouldn't that be pushed aside by the Electoral College? We're going to elect who we want to elect.
You know what you just said? I would have all the Electoral College votes.
If they wanted to vote for you, right?
Well, even if it's wrong, everybody, they do, they vote. They do what they're asked to do, even though it is not the correct procedure. They still do.
Okay.
You see? So I would be the president because they would select me. And then, but the country would go to pot. I'm here to tell you that. There's no way.
I'll be your chief of staff. We'll take care of things. One thing we'd do is we'd get a saving the Constitution in every American's hands. And that's what we need to do right now. We only have 2 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly this has gone, but
yeah, we can't fill out the mailing list in 2 or 3 minutes.
No.
Every home.
If you're listening,
I qualify that every home that's interested or constitutional. Every family that's a constitutional family needs the book. Yeah. And they should get it as quickly as they can because it may not be allowed to be mailed out.
And that's
true.
Not
allowed to print it. We're going to lose that. They're not going to let me continue like this.
I'm telling you, folks, that's not hyperbole. And I've seen this happen. Obviously, you've seen it, folks, with different books. I don't remember the names. There's two books that Amazon just said, no, nope. And pretty soon, yeah, you're not going to be able to get them printed. Or if you do, you might be able to get them printed, but not sold. Please do me a favor. You know,
I mean, if everybody ordered the book right now, I couldn't fill all the orders right now, but I could fill them all within 2 or 3, 4 weeks.
There you go.
You could do it. You fill them all.
Yep.
It would take that amount of time, but that's not the problem. We could get them out. Maybe it would take more than 4 weeks. I don't know how many would come in.
I'll come over and help you pack.
2,000 a day.
I'll come over and help you pack them. So let's figure 175,000 listening to this broadcast on different platforms. 174,495 ordered the book. We got 5 people that are, they're just obstinate. Yeah. So we can get those out in
2,000 a day.
If I come and help you, we can double that. So,
good.
All right. But no, I'm serious, folks. You need to order Saving the Constitution. Please do that. And
it may not be available in 6 weeks.
That's right. And that's what I'm afraid of. I am afraid of that.
I don't know. But if you have it, you don't have to worry.
There you go.
If you don't have it, you don't have the blueprint you need. And if that's going to be stopped, there's also a likelihood that programs like yours will be stopped because they'll push it off the air.
Believe
me. Then nobody will have anything.
Yeah, I've been told that. I've been told as much. I've been told my days are numbered. So I don't know what that means. I guess that means my days are numbered. So, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
my book availability is bound to be numbered. Bound to be.
Yep.
Like you just said, you couldn't do a tweet and get my website on it.
No. And again, look, I don't know if it was, I don't know what the trigger word, if anything was. The tweet went out, but it just disappeared. I went, but regardless, folks, please do me a favor. Saving the Constitution, order that now. ProvisInstitute.com. Saving the Constitution, ProvisInstitute.com. Do it now. Do it now. Liberty Series, if you're really serious. And, let us know. Let us know if you think, well, this is just about buying. This is about, yeah, it's this. We need to get these books in the hands of you and everyone else. Saving the Constitution Saving the Constitution at ProvisInstitute.com. Dr. Proctor, thank you, man. We're up against the. We're
always
out of time.
Are.
We are.
That music starts. You got to turn that music off.
Satellite company frowns upon that too. All right. Well,
take care.
Thank you, man. That'll do it for me tonight, folks. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you so very much. God bless. On behalf of Eric, the Tech Theo, and all of us here at Hagman Report, God bless. Good night.